actually don't do that.
All right, good morning, everyone. Welcome to Steadfast Baptist Church. If you could please find your seats.
Grab our songbooks and turn to song
159. Blessed be the name. 159. Blessed be the name. Sing it out nice and loud with me on the first. 159, blessed be the name. All praise to him who reigns above in majesty supreme, who gave his son for man to die that he might man redeem. Blessed be the name, blessed be the name, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name, blessed be the name, blessed be the name of the Lord. His name above all names shall stand, exalted more and more. Had God the Father's own right hand, where angel hosts adore. Blessed be the name, blessed be the name, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name, blessed be the name, blessed be the name of the Lord. Redeemer, Savior, friend of man, once ruined by the fall, thou hast devised salvation's plan, for thou hast died for all. Blessed be the name, blessed be the name, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name, blessed be the name, blessed be the name of the Lord. His name shall be the Counselor, the Mighty Prince of Peace, of all earth's kingdoms conqueror, whose reign shall never cease. Blessed be the name, blessed be the name, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name, blessed be the name, blessed be the name of the Lord. Great singing. Let's open in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this day. Thank you for the beautiful weather outside, and thank you for this place to gather. I pray that everyone would just worship you with their hearts this morning, that you'd fill us all with the Holy Spirit, and that you'd bless the services, soul winning, and fellowship today. We love you so much, Lord, and in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, so for our second song, we'll go to song number 15, Lead Me to Calvary. Song number 15, Lead Me to Calvary. Song 15, Lead Me to Calvary, King of my life on the first. King of my life, I crown thee now, thine shall the glory be. Lest I forget thy thorn-crowned brow, lead me to Calvary. Lest I forget Gethsemane, lest I forget thine agony, lest I forget thy love for me, lead me to Calvary. Show me the tomb where thou wast laid, tenderly mourned and wept. Angels in robes of light arrayed guarded thee whilst thou slept. Lest I forget Gethsemane, lest I forget thine agony, lest I forget thy love for like Mary through the gloom, come with a gift to thee. Show to me now the empty tomb, lead me to Calvary. Lest I forget Gethsemane, lest I forget thine agony, lest I forget thy love for me, lead me to Calvary. May I be willing, Lord, to bear daily my cross for thee. Even thy cup of grief to share, thou hast borne all for me. Lest I forget Gethsemane, lest I forget thine agony, lest I forget thy love for me, lead me to Calvary.
Morning. Thank you so much for coming to Steadfast Baptist Church. If you don't have a bulletin and you would like one, please lift up your hand nice and high and one of our ushers can come by. It's definitely a full crowd this morning. So if you notice a visitor coming in and you have an ability to kind of scoot in or whatever, please help us with that. And our ushers will also try to help just get everybody organized in here.
survey the wondrous cross. Song number 5, sing it out with me nice and loud.
When I survey the wondrous cross on which the Prince of Glory died, my richest gain I count but loss, and pour contempt on all my pride. Forbid it, Lord, that I should boast, save in the death of Christ my God. All the vain things that charm me most, I sacrifice them to his blood. See from his head, his hands, his feet, sorrow and love flow mingled down. Did e'er such love and sorrow meet? Poor thorns compose so rich a crown. Were the whole realm of nature mine, that were a present far too small. Love so amazing, so divine, he mans my soul, my life, my all.
Turn your Bible, if you would, to 1 Timothy chapter number 5. And we'll pass the offering plates. Also, it's a little warm in here, but if you want, some of the ushers eventually come down the line and offer you some water if you'd like some water. 1 Timothy chapter number 5. First Timothy chapter number 5, the Bible reads in verse number 1, rebuke not an elder, but entreat him as a father, and the younger men as brethren, the elder women as mothers, the younger as sisters with all purity. Honor widows that are widows indeed, but if any widow have children or nephews, let them learn first to show piety at home and to requite their parents, for that is good and acceptable before God. Now she that is a widow indeed and desolate trusteth in God and continueth in supplications and prayers night and day. She that liveth in pleasure is dead while she liveth. These things give in charge that they may be blameless. But if any provide not for his own, and especially for those of his own house, he hath denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. Let not a widow be taken in the number under 80 years old, having been the wife of one man, well reported of for good works. If she have brought up children, if she have lodged strangers, if she have washed the saints' feet, if she have relieved the afflicted, if she have diligently followed every good work. But the younger widows refuse, for when they have begun to wax wanton against Christ, they will marry, having damnation, because they have cast off their first faith, and withal they learn to be idle, wandering about from house to house, and not only idle, but tattlers also, and busybodies, speaking things which they ought not. I will, therefore, that the younger women marry, bear children, guide the house, give none occasion to the adversary to speak reproachfully. For some are already turned aside after Satan. If any man or woman that believeth have widows, let them relieve them. And let not the church be charged, that it may relieve them that are widows indeed. Let the elders that rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially they who labor in the word and doctrine. For the scripture saith, thou shalt not muzzle the ox that treadeth out the corn, and the laborer is worthy of his reward. Against an elder receive not an accusation, but before two or three witnesses. Them that sin rebuke before all, that others also may fear. I charge thee before God and the Lord Jesus Christ and the elect angels, that thou observe these things without preferring one before another, doing nothing by partiality. Lay hands suddenly on no man, neither be partaker of other men's sins. Keep thyself pure, drink no longer water, but use a little wine for thy stomach's sake and thine often infirmities. Some men's sins are open beforehand, going before to judgment, and some men they follow after. Likewise also the good works of some are manifest beforehand. They that are otherwise cannot be hid. Let's start with a word of prayer this morning. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for such a great crowd to come and hear the Word of God being preached. I pray that you would just fill us all with your Holy Spirit, that you would allow the Word of God to ring in our hearts and our ears, and that we would not only be compelled to make a change in our minds, but we'd actually do it in reality. I pray that you just bless this service. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Amen. So before we get into 1 Timothy chapter number 5, I want to go to another place in the Scripture. Go to Genesis chapter number 2. We're going to come right back to this. Go to Genesis chapter number 2. And I wanted to read 1 Timothy chapter number 5, but 1 Timothy chapter number 5, the context of 1 Timothy chapter 5 is a little bit different than where I want to go with the sermon this morning. I just want to use a couple verses from that passage. But in Genesis chapter number 2, the Bible says in verse 24, therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. So according to the Bible, a man would leave his father and his mother with the sole purpose of being joined unto a woman, which would become his wife. And we have the institution of marriage being taught in the Bible right off the bat. It really makes it clear why man even has a woman. The Bible says that God said it wasn't good for the man to be alone, so he made him a helpmeet. And so woman is created in the Bible for the sole purpose of being a help unto her husband, of joining her husband in marriage. You know, God didn't create women in vain. He had a really specific purpose for women, and it was for men to marry them, to leave their parents, to join himself unto her, and to get married, and to procreate, and to have children. But, you know, here's a question. How do I treat this woman whom God has given me, right? And the title of my sermon this morning is this: How Real Men Treat a Woman. How Real Men Treat a Woman. Now go, if you would, to 1 Timothy chapter 5. Go back. 1 Timothy chapter 5. Jesus Christ said in the Gospels, in Mark, for this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and cleave unto his wife. Now, in the Scriptures, the Bible alludes to the concept of a man also, while living with his parents, preparing the nest egg, preparing the place upon which he's going to then take his bride before they get married. Often the Bible kind of illustrates a picture of a man getting engaged to a woman. Then he goes and prepares a place. And then once it's ready, he brings that woman unto himself. They get married. They've left mom and dad. The nest egg is not the basement, is not mom's basement, okay? Then the place where the guy is preparing is been prepared, it's ready. And it's because the first point in how a man, how a real man treats a woman, is that he provides for her, okay? And look at what it says in 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 7. And these things give in charge that they may be blameless. What does it mean to be blameless? It means you don't have any problems. You don't have any reason to have blame. He says in verse 8, but if any provide not for his own, and especially for those of his own house, he hath denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. So according to the Bible is really clear that the men are supposed to take care of their families. And it's going to such an extremity to say that if a man doesn't even take care of his family, he's like an unbeliever. And really, I mean, God is not pleased with unbelievers. I don't know if you've ever read the Bible, but the Bible talks in John chapter number 3 that his wrath abides on them. Okay, so God is angry at the man that's not providing for his family. And when it says especially they of his own house, What the Bible's trying to paint the picture here is 1 Timothy chapter number 5 is taking care of people in your family that don't live with you. It's talking about widows. So it's talking about like your grandmother, your mother, even maybe more extended family that's not necessarily even just living with you, but that you would be willing to take them on, pay for them, help them in a time of need. And, you know, in 1 Timothy chapter 5, it's emphasizing widows because, you know, the Bible teaches that a real man can take care of himself, okay? So, you know, it doesn't say like the widower needs someone to come take him in. The widower needs all this help. It says that the widow. Now, of course, as our parents get older, maybe your parents get disabled, you know, even sometimes the man needs help, and that makes sense. But there's a primary context here, and it's for the woman. It's for the widow. It's for a woman that's been taken care of by her husband whole her life, and now he's dead. Now she doesn't have any ability to provide for herself. So it doesn't say, oh, if there's any widows, let them go work at Starbucks. Go let them be the greeter at Walmart. Go let them do, no. It says that a man is supposed to step up and take care of that woman too. Right. It's just saying like, even though this woman doesn't have a husband, doesn't have a man in her life that's right there to take care of her, another man in her family should step up and take care of her. And then it's like, this is an even bigger shame if you're not taking care of your own wife. Like, you're not even taking care of your own wife and your own children. This is an embarrassment. This is a shame. Men ought to take care of their family. And let me tell you something. My mom got this doctrine. Praise God. My mom, you know, whenever there would be rough times in our finances, which we had rough times, everybody has rough times, my mom would say, hey, you know, I'm not worried about it because it's not my job to pay the bills. And I would just be like, I didn't even get this doctrine. I feel like she maybe even took it overboard. I don't know if you can, but she tried. But she, if she made money, she's like, that's my money. He has to pay the bills, you know? And I'm just like, okay, whatever. But you know what? It's a man is supposed to take care of his woman. Yeah. Now in 2022 America, sometimes that means you have to work hard. Yeah. You know, in fact, I would just say carte blanche, you have to work hard. If you're gonna provide for your wife and your family, it takes a lot of hard work. It takes a lot more work than most Americans are willing to do. Most American men, they want a cush job. They want 35 hours a week. They want 40 hours a week. They don't want to have any pressure put on them. They don't want to have to work any overtime. But you know what? The Bible says, 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work. You know, the Bible doesn't say work 40 hours a week. You know, sometimes a real man, he has to actually work 10-hour shifts, 12-hour shifts. Sometimes he has to go overtime. Sometimes he has to have multiple jobs. Sometimes he has to work on Saturday. Sometimes he has to work on Sunday. Sometimes he has to actually put in a lot of effort and energy in order to provide. But you know what? It's his job to provide. And let me tell you something. Most of my life, I've had to have multiple jobs. I'm just telling you about myself individually. I've had multiple jobs in my life so many different times. I've had to have side hustles and side jobs and side gigs. In fact, when I started pastoring in Pure Words, I had a full-time day job where I'd work over 40 hours a week. Then I had a side job where I had to put extra 10, 15, 20 hours in, potentially, depending on how much demand there was there. And then I was also pastoring a church where I preached 3 times a week. I also led multiple soul winning times during that time. So don't come at me and say like, oh, you guys, you just want a pastor because it's a cush job or something. It's like, what are you talking about? You know, sometimes real men have to actually do some real labor. And you know what? Since then, I've always had multiple jobs. I still have had multiple jobs. I still consider doing extra work. Why? Because sometimes it takes a lot of effort and energy to provide. Right. And you know what? A real man provides and his wife has to worry 0%. Right. It's not her job to worry about who's providing, who's taking care of this stuff. You know, that's what a real man does. And the Bible is clearly articulating. I didn't write 1 Timothy chapter 5, my friend. And throughout history, everyone got this. Because, you know, only in America, in modern times, can women even really work. Because, you know, back in the day, they're having to go out and literally kill the animals and do all the hard farming and the physical labor and the cold and do all this different work that's very difficult. Whereas a pregnant lady couldn't even do it. You know, it's not even a reality for them to do it. They have to have a man. They have to have a strong man to actually step in and do the work. And so throughout history, this doctrine was kind of forced upon humanity. It's only when you get into a society that has an abundance of riches and money and wealth, and they're very ungodly, do we have this scenario where you have all these women working, you know, and not the right kind of job. Hey, there's a right kind of job for women to work. It's in this chapter too. Look what it says in verse number 14. I will therefore that the younger women marry, bear children, guide the house, give none occasion to the adversary to speak reproachfully. So of course the Bible has a really important job for women. It's not that women don't work hard. In fact, women arguably work harder. Because while I'm talking about 10 and 12 hour shifts, you know what kind of shifts women have? 24/7 hour shifts. Welcome to being a mom. Welcome to being a wife. And she has multiple jobs because she's not just a mother, she's a wife. And a cook, and a cleaner, and a teacher, and a manager, and an organizer. I mean, women today have to have like 18 jobs. If I made you men be like your wife, you'd probably cry yourself to sleep too. Because it's hard. I mean, it's difficult. I mean, to be a real woman is so much effort. It's so much work that they need a real man to have like just a full-time, all the time working effort to be able to pay for that and to take care of that and to provide for that. And she has so much stuff going on, she shouldn't have to be worrying about that or thinking about that. And you know what? I didn't have jobs in my life because there was a time where I got let go. They didn't want me to do remote work anymore. I applied for hundreds and hundreds of jobs in a period of 2 weeks. And I did like 10 interviews and I got multiple job offers. Because you know what? When you don't have a job, your 100% full-time job is getting a job. Like I would say like 15-hour shifts. I mean, you're just everywhere going. And you know, a lot of the jobs, you know what I did? I literally just walked in and said, hey, I know you're hiring. Here's my resume. I want to work for you. And you know, they were like, okay, well, sit down. You know, let's interview you. You know, they were just like so flabbergasted that somebody would actually want to work for them or like showed up in person. They're like, let's interview you. And then they literally interviewed me and then they literally offered me a job. I'm not joking. I've given this advice to other people and I know that they literally just walked into the business that they want with an interview in hand, dressed nice, with a smile on their face. And they said, I want to work for you. And they're like, okay, let's do it. And you know, in the Dallas-Fort Worth area, let me tell you a secret, everyone is hiring. I don't care if they have a hiring sign outside or not, because they cannot find a good worker. They can't even get the people that are actually being paid to show up. You're showing up without even getting paid. I mean, you're just there like, I'm ready to go. Plug me in, coach, put me in, you know? And that's what real men look like, is they're ready to work. They're not just standing on the street corner waiting for some man to hire them. They're not just being lazy about it. And we need men today to work hard and to put in a lot of effort. That's literally your job from God. Right. I didn't make this up. The Bible says it. Go to Exodus 21. How does a real man treat a woman? He takes care. He provides for her. All of her needs. All of them. And on top of that, wants. You know, it's one thing to provide for the needs. It's another thing to provide for the wants. And let me tell you something. You want to have a good marriage? Provide for the wants too. It's like, hey, you got ramen. You're good. No. You got to get something a little bit nicer than ramen, right? It's called bringing home the bacon. Why is it called bacon? Because it's a New Testament doctrine, my friend. It's the Bible here. So you know what that means? You can't bring them in and out. Okay? Because it's bringing home the bacon. Okay, you got to get some real good food. You got to go take them to somewhere that has like bacon on all the food, like Outback, okay? Outback has bacon on the fries. It has bacon on the baked potato. I mean, can you get bacon-wrapped steak and shrimp probably? I mean, it's just like, hey, that's bringing home the bacon, isn't it? They should put it on the bread. No, I'm just kidding. Exodus 21, look at verse 10. The Bible says, if he take him another wife. So this is about the law. This is a man saying if he takes another wife. Obviously, this is not a suggestion, men, okay? Her food or raiment and her duty of marriage shall he not diminish. And if you do not these three unto her, Then shall she go out free without money. Now, I just want you to think about this for a second. Because we already know that in the Bible, God hates divorce. God hates separation. God hates these type of things. But if a man is taking on a different wife and then just neglects the other wife so bad that she doesn't have, notice the things, food, raiment, and the duty of marriage, according to the law of God, she could just go out and get it on her own. Now, this is not saying she would divorce him, okay? Don't get confused. It's, but what it's saying is that she could go out and just basically provide for herself, because without food, clothing, or this duty of marriage, you're essentially depriving this woman of just life in general, because you have to have food and clothing just to survive physically. So it's basically saying, like, a woman that's in the house taking care of the house and she's not even getting fed, she's not even getting clothing, then yeah, of course that woman needs to then go out and somehow figure out how to get food and clothing for her and her household, okay? It's, the Bible's not just written so that women will just literally die in their house because the man won't take care of them. But what it is saying is that men are supposed to provide these basic necessities. These are the most basic, bare necessities that a woman has to have. And if you're not providing them, then it's basically saying, like, well, she's going to go find it somewhere else. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 7. And you know, when it comes to providing, we're not just talking about money. We're not just talking about food. We're not just talking about those things that are just literally life necessities. You know, a roof over her head. The Bible also says the duty of marriage. There was a reason why you got married. It's because you're attracted to one another. I hope, okay? I hope you were attracted to your spouse when you got married. If you got married and you weren't attracted to your spouse, you're doing it wrong, okay? But you need to figure out how to find them attractive. And you know what? If you're a real man, you're attracted to women. So there you go, all right? But there's also the duty of marriage. And look what it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 1. Now concerning the things whereof you wrote unto me, it is good for a man not to touch a woman. Nevertheless, to avoid fornication, let every man have his own wife. Praise God. You know, every man gets to have a wife. And let every woman have her own husband. Let the husband render unto the wife due benevolence, and likewise also the wife unto the husband. It says the wife hath not power of her own body, but the husband. And likewise, also the husband hath not power of his own body, but the wife. Defraud ye not one the other, except it be with consent for a time, that ye may give yourselves to fasting and prayer and come together again, and that Satan tempt you not for your incontinency. Now, I think a lot of times people think of this as a one-way street, but according to the Bible, it is a two-way street. Notice that the Bible says that a woman has power over the man in one area. I mean, what's that here? Does it not say very clearly in verse number 4? Likewise, also the husband hath not power over his own body. You know, when you get married, the Bible says these two become what? One flesh. Meaning you are not allowed to deny your body to your spouse. That is a wicked sin according to the Bible. Once you become married, you are both supposed to come together whenever one party wants it. Not two, when one party. Because the man, he has needs. The woman, she has needs. And so it's an obligation. It's a duty for men to provide the duty of marriage for his wife. And you know what? You should do it with some romance. You should do it with some effort. You should do it with some care. You know, there's a part of your marriage that you're supposed to put a lot of effort and energy into, and it's that of being attracted to your spouse and having a good relationship with your spouse. Why else get married? It's not a roommate situation. It's not a slave situation. You know, I think some men today, the men going their own way, they basically just want a slave that's going to, you know, help them out in the bedroom. And it's like, they have, you know, gross robots for that, okay? They have gross mannequins for that. And you know what? That's disgusting, because you know what? A woman has great value, and a real man treats his wife special, and he's going to do the duty of marriage. And you know what? He's going to try and make sure that his wife is taken care of in all areas. And you know, I have to believe it, because the Bible brings up this so many times where the man is not willing to be with the wife, that it's a reality. It's out there. It's out there where women want more intimacy in the relationship and the man is not delivering. Look at Leah and her husband. I mean, Leah wants to be with her husband. Her husband's not as interested in her. Her husband is basically, you know, not showing a lot of attention to her. And, you know, in today's culture, most men in this room don't have two wives, okay? If you do, that's weird. I don't want to know about it, all right? You might find a different church, okay? It's called the Mormon church, all right? But there's no new thing under the sun. Just because you don't have a Rachel that you're married to, maybe you have a Rachel that's online or something. Or maybe you have a Rachel in the workplace that you're putting too much attention and affection towards, whereas you need to be paying attention to Leah at home and forsake Rachel, as it were. And you know what? Oftentimes why there's intimacy problems in the relationship is because you're thinking of someone else. That's why it brought it up in the law. Is it's, you know, you got some other problem, you're thinking about other people, or going down a dark road. That's why it's important that you're supposed to be thinking about your spouse. Real men treat their wife as they're the only woman on the planet. That's what a real man does. So if you would to Genesis chapter number 20, go to Genesis chapter number 20. Look, point one is that men need to provide for their wife. What? Food, clothing, and the duty of marriage. They must do this. This is an absolute must. It's a basic necessity. And look, you want to go beyond this, okay? We're just establishing the foundation. If you're failing at point one, you are epically failing, okay? Point one is the most basic, the most simple, the easiest one to fulfill, okay? Point one, provide. Be the provider. Say, I got that. You don't have to worry about it. Now, there's nothing wrong with a wife or a woman providing. The Bible doesn't teach that a woman can't make money or work or do things. You know, the Proverbs 31 woman selling merchandise, she's making money, she's doing work. So depending on a woman's situation, depending on their life circumstances, there's nothing sinful about a woman working or making money, but it's contextually driven. If she's forsaking the household, if the man's not providing, then there's obviously an issue there. And of course, if the man is literally not doing anything and the wife has to pay, has to bring home the bacon, you know what? I wouldn't be mad at the woman. I'd be mad at the dude. And you know, it's a shame. It's embarrassing. I felt embarrassed when I first started working because, you know, my wife, when we first got married, she had graduated from college. I graduated from college. She beat me. She graduated in like 3.5 years. And then she got a job. And she always made more money than me every single year that she worked before she got pregnant. So like every single year that we lived together, she made way more money than me. And she was excelling. She was promoted a bunch of over people. And she was basically like a test writer for the state of Texas. She was like appointed to do these like special things. And you know what? That's not her fault that she's excelling and that she's doing great. I just felt really embarrassed that I can't even make as much money as my wife. And that my whole high school, like junior high, high school, and college, you know what they'd always say? Like the worst paying job ever is a teacher. And I'm like, I keep hearing about how there's this horrible paid profession. My wife's in it. She's making more money than me. But you know what? That embarrassed me enough to feel like I need to work harder to make more money. And I need to figure out a way to provide for my family. And you know, it's funny because at the time that she finally quit and she got pregnant and we started, you know, doing things, you know, the best way possible, we made the least amount of money we've ever made and we started having kids. And I was just like, oh man, that was scary. But you know what? I'm still here. Yeah. I'm still making it. And you know what? You should never wait to have children. We made the mistake of waiting to have children. And, you know, I wish I had more children sitting in the room than today. Because if I had to look at any of my children in the face and say, like, I don't want you here, that would grieve my heart. Yep. You know, which of my children should I not have? No, I want all of them. And you know what? You should want all of your children. You should want all the children that God's going to bless you with. You know what? Hypothetically speaking, I'm just saying there's nothing wrong with a woman theoretically working. It's the fact that men aren't providing is the real problem. Yeah. Men aren't leading. And if there was a real man for every single job, why do we need to take the women from the house in order to do the labor? We don't. Because men should be able to do work better than women. Facts.
Oh, why don't you pay women more? Well, the women aren't worth as much.
Read Leviticus. In the book of Leviticus, it literally says, hey, when you're hiring a man and a woman, pay the man more. It's like 50 shekels for men. It's like 30 shekels for a woman. Why? Because men are worth more than women in most professions. Because men are bigger, stronger, taller, deeper voice, praise God. I mean, just every category, you know, they can work longer hours. They don't cry about everything. Okay, they're not as emotionally driven. There's a difference between men and women. But you know what? I couldn't do my wife's job to save my life because I can only do one task at a time. She can do like 1,000, all right? She's better at that. So point one is this. Provide. Real men provide for women. Look at number 2, Genesis chapter number 20. Look at verse 14. And Abimelech took sheep and oxen and men servants and women servants and gave them unto Abraham and restored him Sarah his wife. And Abimelech said, behold, my land is before thee. Dwell where it pleaseth thee. And unto Sarah he said, behold, I have given thy brother 1,000 pieces of silver. Behold, he is to thee a covering of the eyes unto all that are with thee. And with all other, thus she was reproved. Now, in this story, Abraham lies about his wife, says it's just his sister, and she almost ends up committing adultery and being with another man, but it ends up being discovered. God's very mad about this, and he kind of uses this unrighteous king to still deliver some good truths here, and the fact that he's saying, hey, Abraham is a covering to you. Why? Because men are supposed to protect women. Men are supposed to protect women. And what a shame that a man, a husband, would allow his wife to potentially be another man's wife. I mean, that's weird. You know, men are supposed to protect their wives and protect their women. And in fact, that should be the last option. I mean, if you're going to say, like, what's the worst thing imaginable is my wife being another man's wife, okay? So I should not desire that. I should not want that. And we should protect our women in all areas of life, especially from being with another man. Go, if you would, to 1 Peter chapter number 3, 1 Peter chapter number 3 in the Bible. A man is supposed to be a covering unto the woman. You know, God made men stronger, and you say, praise God, you know? Praise the Lord that we get to be the stronger vessel. But you know what? With much power is given much responsibility. If you're going to be the strong one, then you actually have to be the protection. You actually have to guard and guide them and take care of them. And, you know, you don't want to just feed them to the wolves. And you ladies, you need to marry a guy that's willing to protect you, and not when the sons of Bela come knocking at the door, he just tosses you out and closes the door. I mean, what kind of a weak coward does something like that? What kind of a weirdo does something like that? And then he chops her up in pieces and mails her in the mail. I mean, that guy's a little weird. Yeah. I'm just saying, okay? That guy's got issues. Serious, serious issues. And so real men are not going to just let their wife just go and be with whoever and do whatever. That's the attribute of a guy that's kind of a coward. He's a weakling. He doesn't really love his wife. Because God is a jealous God, and God is not going to share his people with anybody. God's not interested in sharing us with Buddha or some Hindu temple or the Catholic idols. No, God's jealous for us, and he wants us to be his people. He wants us to worship and serve him. And the same should be with a husband, that he's jealous for his wife. He wants 100% of his wife's attention, 100% of his wife's sandwiches, 100% of his wife's cookies, you know, 100% of everything that's, you know, he also wants 100% of his wife's body for his eyes only. He's a covering of her. So, you know, and it's not a hijab necessarily, but you know what? If you had to ask me, like, would you rather your daughter look like the daughters out here or wear a hijab? Probably the hijab. I'm just being honest. I don't want my daughter walking around where she looks like she's literally naked, where she's literally exposing every part of her body. And you know what? Praise God, fundamental Baptists don't have to look as weird and as confusing as the LDS or the Amish or the Muslim today. I mean, you can actually still look like a normal person dressing properly. But you know what? Men should cover their daughters. Men should cover their wives. You're a weird pervert if you want to flaunt your wife off to other men. And I see headlines like this, where men are sharing their wives with other men. How disgusting and perverted is America becoming? And what kind of a weird, sick freak is letting his wife be consumed by other men? I mean, this makes no sense today. Men ought to have enough respect for their wife to cover them and to say, hey, you're mine. You're not anybody else's. She's off limits for anybody else. And anybody else that's interested and seeing that is going to die. Like, there's no option here. You know, it's me. I'm her man. And there's no other man in her life. And you know what? Women like that. Women like that there's a man interested in her. She can be content to say, you know what? I don't have to have the attention of every man as long as there's at least one man in my life that wants to give me 100% of his attention. 1 Peter chapter number 3, look at verse 7. Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. In fact, I would suggest this, that the reason why women dress like whores is because the man in their life are not giving them enough attention. That's probably why. They just are so attention deprived that they just literally have to just expose it all just to get the attention. It's a cry for attention. Why do they say that the woman that's dressed like a whore has daddy issues? It's because daddy wasn't telling his daughter that she's beautiful. You know, I get criticized for this, but I think it's great. People will literally criticize me for telling my daughter that she's beautiful too much. And I'm thinking like, well, you know what? I'm going to tell my daughter she's so beautiful so many times that she never has to go out and dress like a whore. She never has to have this need and desire to get attention from other men, because she's like, my dad is giving me plenty of praise. He is a covering unto me. And you know what? I can go from my dad's house to my husband's house. I don't need any other men in my life. I don't need the attention of all these derelicts and losers and just basic, you know, freaks out there today, perverts that are not even interested in who she is or in her beauty anyways. You know, because women, you know, they're not young forever, and there's an inner beauty to every single woman that the husband needs to realize that that wife has and give her all of that attention. And realize, hey, if they're a little bit weaker, if you're a little bit stronger, you should dwell with them according to knowledge. You should pay attention to the attributes of your wife. You should pay attention to the needs of your wife and dwell with her according to knowledge. Not being an idiot. Not being foolish today. Not just saying like, I don't know what's going on. You know, it's real easy for men to just check out today and say, oh, women, they're just so hard to figure out. Just you're lazy. That's what it is. Look, they're not hard to figure out. They have, you give them the food, bring them the bacon, okay, number one. Clothe them, that was part of the instructions, okay. And then have an intimate relationship with them. That's how you do it. Now, here's what you don't do. Don't pay attention to anything they say, all right? This is your key to marriage. In fact, you might have a better marriage if you do the exact opposite of everything they say. It's just like, hey, do you want me to come and hang out? No, I'm fine. Hang out with her. Okay. Hey, do you want to talk about it? No, I don't want to talk about it. Talk about it. Okay. I mean, pretty much everything that she's like saying, you don't believe any of it. Okay. It's not real. Okay. That, now we've already figured it out. You have to realize this. Okay. She always wants to hang out. She always wants to talk to you. She always wants you to feed her. She always wants you to get her clothes. That's always on the table, getting her new clothes, okay? And then on top of that, she wants to have an intimate relationship with you. And you say, well, I don't know. She's saying the opposite. She wants it. Yeah. And you know why she's pushing you away? Because she wants a real man to say, I want it anyways. Yeah. That's why she says it. She just wants a knight in shining armor that says, hey, you're mine anyways. She's like, no. I mean, in fact, that's how most dating starts anyways. You're just annoying, and she's not interested. She's pushing away, and you're just like, you're mine anyways. You know, when my wife and I were in school together, she would have never wanted to date me, okay? Because I was, you know, not a desirable person to date. But, hey, we're here. And a woman wants that man to just, you know, be this annoying fungus that grows on her, okay? I'm just telling you what it is. You know, you single guys, you need to just find a woman and say, you're going to be mine. And she's like, I don't want to. And she's like, it doesn't matter what you want. You're going to be my woman, and I'm not going to listen to what you say. I already know what you want. I'm going to tell you what you want. You know, men have a great relationship with their wife when they just tell their wife what she wants, because she doesn't know anyways. You know why she's saying stuff and doesn't make any sense? Because she doesn't know. She hasn't figured it out. I already know, because the Bible already told me. She wants food and clothing and an intimate relationship. And if all the women could say amen, there'd be a lot of amens, okay? I can see their eyes, all right? Go to Ephesians chapter number 5. Go to Ephesians chapter number 5. They want a real man to treat a woman, and a real man already knows what his wife wants. He already knows where she wants him to take her, okay? He already knows everything that she needs and desires, and he's paying attention. He's paying attention to the things. She'll drop hints. It's kind of like a puzzle. I get it. It's hard. But you have to try and really pay attention. And the more you pay attention to your wife, the more you get it. That's why she does that, is because she's dropping all these little hints just to see how close of attention you're paying, you know? And she's just like, man, a coffee over there would sound pretty good. She's saying, like, this is what she's really saying. Get me a coffee now from that place. You're thinking, like, all she said was, like, it sounds cool or something, you know? It's like whatever she's saying, like, in real subtle terms, it's like she's screaming, I want that, okay, inside. But she's just not going to do that because she's a woman. Yeah. You know, men are different. Men are just like, I want burger, let's go get burger, you know? It's like women, it's like, what do you want? I don't know. What about this? No. That's how you know she's not being honest. What about this? I don't care. This, no. I don't care. This, no. It's just like, obviously you care. But just stop having that argument, figure out where she wants to go, and then just drive there. Don't even ask. That's a novel idea. Hey, men, you want to get a date with a woman? Don't ask her where she wants to go. Just tell her. Yeah. Hey, I'm picking you up at 7, and we're going here. You know, there's a real man in Pure Words Baptist Church. His name's Samson, okay? And I don't know, just by his name, you should already know this. I'm going to tell a little secret about him, okay? So Samson is like at a gas station, and a woman... He's not married, okay? Just FYI, all right? Let me make it clear, okay? Long time ago in a faraway galaxy, okay, there's a guy named Samson. He's at a gas station, and he's not a man going his own way. He's interested in women. And a woman pulls up, and he's just like, hey, I want to take you out, 7 p.m. She's like, well, I have a boyfriend. And he's like, okay, we'll go break up with him and then meet me here at 7. And you know what she did? She broke up with her boyfriend and met with him at 7, and now she's his wife. You say, oh, all the cute girls have boyfriends. Okay, we'll break them up. You Samson, you. You know, just start flexing. Just start bowing up and be like, hey, I'm here. Let's go. You know, that guy's not getting the job done. I'll get the job done, okay? I'll put a ring on that finger. And I'm just telling you, that's how a real man treats a woman. He just told her what she's going to do, and she did it. Ephesians chapter 5, look at verse 25. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. Now think about this. If you take my analogy, let's apply it to the word of God. How about the Lord Jesus Christ? The Lord Jesus Christ doesn't ask us what we want. He just tells us what to do. The Lord Jesus Christ is like, hey, this is how you're going to have church. This is where you're going to meet. And in fact, you're just supposed to follow me wherever I tell you to go. And you're just like, yes, Lord. I mean, that's how we're supposed to operate. And you know what? The same should work in a marriage where the man is like, come and follow me. Come and see my zeal for the Lord. You know, men are supposed to lead their household today. They're supposed to protect their wife from the evils of this world. You say, oh, women are going to the devil. Yeah, because there's not a man to come and grab her and say, hey, come and follow me. Right. Hey, come and do what I'm doing. Hey, come and let me lead you. Come with me. That's what a real man is supposed to do. Don't expect a woman to wander down your path. That's the wrong woman, my friend. The wrong woman finds you. You have to find the right woman. Whoso findeth a wife findeth a good thing and obtaineth favor of the Lord, is what the Bible says. You know what? We're supposed to go out and to seek
to save that which was lost. When I try to get someone saved, I'm not just sitting around at a coffee shop hoping someone just falls down and says, hey, Pastor Shelley, what must I do to be saved? You know what I do? I knock on their door and I tell them, hey, you need to get saved. They're like, I didn't even know that. It's like, let me tell you about it. Right? I mean, when we go out soul winning, it's confrontational soul winning, my friend. And they were not thinking about it. They were not interested in it. They weren't asking after God. You know, think about Romans chapter number 10. The Bible says he's seeking people that ask not after him. Yep. And you know what? Don't think that the woman's asking after you. You got to ask after her. You got to pursue her. And you know when you should stop pursuing her? When you're dead. Hey, after you get married, it's not a time to quit pursuing your wife and seeking your wife and loving your wife. No, you're supposed to protect and cherish your wife till death do us part, is what the Bible says. Hey, you know what? Part of that protecting is protecting her from sin, protecting her from the evils, protecting her from Joel Osteen, protecting her from Joyce Meyer, protecting her from the butch haircut. Please, God, someone save the women from short haircuts today. Someone save the women from mom jeans today, okay? Someone needs to save women and make women feminine again. Right. You know, the problem with our country today is that the men are becoming feminine so that the women become masculine. Right. You know what'll actually make women feminine again? Is men being masculine. Yep. Then they don't have a need. Then they don't want to do that anymore, okay? Just like if we think about sports, if they didn't have men and women sports, real men would eradicate all women in sports. You know, it's funny when we think about all this transgender nonsense with sports. Why aren't they making laws saying women can't compete with men in sports? Because there's no need. Because never is a woman ever going to be able to compete in the professional level with these type of men in the real sport. You know, it's like a rare exception that a woman could be in any level of any kind of professional accolades with men. It's typically there's something weird going on, okay? Because just generally speaking, if you said, hey, all women can compete in the NBA, you know how many women are gonna make the roster? Zero. Except for some liberal queer virtue signaler. Outside of that, I mean, they're not gonna put a woman on the roster to win the national championship. It's never going to happen. They're not going to get a woman out there to be, you know, a tailback, to be the linebacker, to be the offensive line. They're never going to put a woman in these positions. Look, there was a woman that was really good at golf, and she tried to compete with men. It was like Annika Sorenstam or something like that. Couldn't do it. They can't hit it as far. They can't. They're not as strong. They don't have the same abilities as men do. And so men need to be men today. You know, women don't have the same opportunity to provide like men do. And it's sick how many men today are becoming like a literal woman, so then women have to become a man. Go if you would to Jeremiah 51. You know, the Bible says, if the good men of the house had known what watch the thief would come, he would have watched and would not have suffered his house to be broken up. So the Bible talks about if there was a thief that was going to break into the house, the good men of the house wouldn't let that if he knew when the thief was coming, okay? But you know what it doesn't say? It doesn't say, oh, well, the thief wouldn't have broken through because of the wife. But there's a woman there to guard the house. The thief doesn't care. The thief's not like, oh, there's a woman in the house. I better not rob it. You know, no thief looks at that and says like, well, I'm really nervous and scared now. There's a woman in the house. You know, and if it wasn't for guns, they would have zero fear, like absolute none. That's why women need to have guns, okay? Because if you're a woman in your house and you don't have a gun, you are a giant target. That's why we have multiple guns everywhere ready to go at our household, and everybody's ready to use them, okay? But at the end of the day, you know what? The good man is the only one really there to protect the house. You know, in Proverbs chapter 7, there's an adulterous woman that's waiting at the corner for a man. But you know what she says? The good man's gone. Where's her husband? Where's the dad to actually protect that woman from going out and being a whore? And notice she's a whore when he's not there, when he's not fulfilling the duty of marriage with her. You know, and I'm not against jobs that travel. I'm not going to condemn you if you have a job that travels a lot. But let me tell you something. There's a danger there if you're not around your wife often. You know, there's a lot of jobs I could have had
that require a lot of travel, and I just rejected them because, you know what? It's more important for me to see my wife on a regular basis and be around my wife and to not put her in harm's way. There needs to be a goodman at the house to protect her from all evils. And America is going to hell in a handbasket today because we don't have any men to protect the women. In fact, we're asking women to protect us. I feel like more times than not, when I see a police officer, it's now a woman. What world do we live in when we literally have to deputize women to protect us from criminals? Right? We don't have the good men of the house. We have the good woman, you know, with a badge and a baton and everything. And of course, if she didn't have a gun, she would be absolutely worthless as a law enforcer. In fact, typically, they can't even arrest anyone. I mean, you really think that this little 5'6" law enforcement Karen is going to arrest some 6'5" George Floyd? I would like, you know, of course we get mad at Derek Chauvin for what he did to George Floyd. I'd love to see four women arrest him. Good luck. It would have been a clown show. Okay. What are they going to do? They would have said taser, taser, and just shot him. That's what they would have done with a real gun because they can't even tell the difference between a taser and a gun, apparently. You know, it's sick that you live in a country, not only in law enforcement. I mean, we have women in literally every position now. I mean, you find them as crane operators and in the construction force, and you see women in just like every kind of role. You're just thinking like, what are you doing? I mean, they're explaining to us how football works on television. I'm thinking like, you've never played football in your life. You're just reading a prompter. They just put you on there because you're pretty. But you know what? Men need to be like, I'm not interested in her. I'm interested in my wife. Yeah. You know, I want someone that's actually intelligent to speak to me and tell me something about this sport. You know, we have women literally in the armed forces, my friend. And our armed forces. What nation in history had an army of women? Think about it. I mean, you've got your, like, Joan of Arcs and everything like that. But, you know, you got your Mulan or whatever. I don't even know if that's real. Is that real? I don't care. But she was pretending to be a dude, okay? It wasn't like people realized that it was a woman leading the charge. Otherwise, it would have been such an embarrassment. And look, you read Joan of Arc, it's not as cool as it really is in the movies, okay? It's kind of a sham. And then they'll bring up, oh, what about Bible stories? What about jail? Didn't Jael kill, you know, Jabin or whatever? The king of Canaan? And it's just like, okay, yeah. Whenever he was so tired, he just like literally passed out. And then she crept up on him quietly and then killed him. Okay, that's the one time when women are going to prevail, when they trick you with food and you're taking a nap. Now, when I'm taking a nap, I'm pretty vulnerable, okay? Because all kinds of noises and sounds and everything. I mean, I'm just like, I don't know. I don't really care enough. So that's the one time the woman revealed. And it was a shame and an embarrassment to Barak, who didn't kill him. It was embarrassing. In fact, later, Abimelech, in the book of Judges, is at a wall. A woman throws a rock at him and hits him. It doesn't kill him. Because I guess a woman threw it. It's kind of like when a woman throws a rock at a glass window and doesn't break it. We have it on video footage. Steadfast Baptist Church, our glass window is stronger than a woman with a rock. Think about that. It took it until it was like, you know. And whenever, you know, you're in junior high, there was some guys that would show up to football, and they're kind of like, and they're like, why do you throw like a girl? Why would they say that? Because it's like a girl. There's a reason why they say this. And you know what? It's a sad embarrassment to everyone in the entire world when we have women in our armed forces. Amen. Look at what it says in Jeremiah 51, verse 28. Prepare against her the nations with the kings of the Medes, the captains thereof, and all the rulers thereof, and all the land of his dominion. And the land shall tremble in sorrow, for every purpose of the Lord shall be performed against Babylon, to make the land of Babylon a desolation without an inhabitant. The mighty men of Babylon have forborne to fight. They have remained in their holds. Their might hath failed. They became as women. You know what? And we see in America, men are literally transforming themselves into a woman. They're getting into high heels and lipstick, and they're now saying they're in the armed forces. I mean, they're a literal woman. And let me tell you something about these queers, is they're all cowards, my friend. Queers are never going to fight in some army. It's like a sword. It's yucky. You know, ew, guns. I mean, you notice that every one of these liberal faggots, don't they hate guns and gun laws? They want to get rid of all of it. And they just want to hide and cower. And you know what? When we have an armed forces filled with faggots and women, we're doomed. Literal destruction is upon us. You really think that the Chinese, you really think that the Russians are quivering in their boots at a bunch of men dressed up like women called the United States military? And you think I'm joking. They've literally had exercises where they took a large portion of our male troops and put them in high heels to walk up and down the streets. What kind of a sick world do we live in when men are not the real protectors? It's now a woman. Women generals and women lieutenants and women in the armed forces and women. You know, the Bible says when they are at wartime, what are women really like in wartime? It says that they don't fight. They forbore to fight. That means they refuse to fight. They remain in their holes. They hide, okay? They have no might. And that's what a woman is like. And I guarantee, look, if an armed, crazed madman came through the building, you know what women would start doing? Screaming and hiding and ducking and covering. That's what women do. That's their natural instinct. You know, you're not going to take a bunch of women to D-Day. You know, the only opportunity you had there was to just make everybody deaf from all the screaming or something like that. I mean, you're not going to get a bunch of women to go out and lead the charge. That's weird. It's weird that we live in a country where men are not protecting women. How do we live in an entire country where men are not the armed forces, where men are not the police, where men are not the judges, where men are not leading? How do we have a woman for the vice president of America? It's wicked. And I don't care if it was Sarah Palin, she's wicked too. I don't care if it's Laura Trump, wicked. I don't care what other woman governor or whatever. I mean, I don't care who it is. People are like, oh, he's a Trump supporter. I'm not a Trump supporter. Get your facts right. I don't even think I could bless any politician. Maybe Ron Paul if he wasn't 1,000, okay? That guy's pretty old. He's still more cognizant than Joe Biden, though. I mean, man, talk about an infinite upgrade. I mean, literally, there's probably people in their deathbed that make more sense than Joe Biden. It's sad when we don't have any men in this country, and you know what's going to fix the feminism of our country is real men. Yeah. And why do we have to, you know, change the standards in the military for women, right? Go to Proverbs chapter 5. You know, why don't we have the same standard? You know, they always talk about how there's no difference between men and women. Then why do you have a completely different standard to accept them in the military? Yep. To accept them into the Marine Corps? Right. It's like girl push-ups. What's a girl push-up? That shouldn't even exist. You know, and of course, women, they can compete in some areas of strength because a lot of times some women, they'll have like really strong legs and thighs because God gave them that for childbirth. But upper body strength is so significantly different between men and women. It's not even close. It's not even similar. You know, women are never going to typically be that strong in their upper body, in their arms. They can get pretty strong legs and leg muscles just because of the way. That's why when you look at these women that play sports, what's the one sport that you really see women in? Maybe. Softball. Why? Why? Because in baseball, it's a lot about the hips and the legs, you know, and you're just kind of just legs, your arms are just kind of sitting there. You know, you can just basically hit that ball. So that's why you have a lot of lesbians that play softball or whatever. And then you get a lot of men, they drink beer and play softball. They're in the softball league, you know. It's a soft one. I don't want to get hit with the softball, you know. We have to make it even bigger so that I can actually hit it with my bat, you know. Sorry for all you softball fans. Proverbs chapter number 5, look at verse 18. Let thy fountain be blessed and rejoice with the wife of thy youth.
Let her be as loving hind and pleasant roe. Let her breast satisfy thee at all times, and be thou ravished always with her love. Point three, I want to change gears a little bit, is this. Because men and women are different, praise God. Because you know what? I am not attracted to any man. And I don't want to praise them on their looks. I don't want to praise them on their accolades. You know, I'd like to have a woman who's the glory of the man to look at and to praise and to be satisfied and to rejoice with. Okay? And so number one, men need to provide. Number two, they need to protect. But number three, they need to praise. Men should praise women. You know, think about how sick our country is when we're saying the woman of the year is Bruce Jenner. Praising a woman? I mean, it's just like, what? That is disgusting. You know, or they'll praise the wrong woman. They'll praise the whores of the world, won't they? They'll praise all the whores of Hollywood. They'll praise all the women that'll take off all their clothes and just basically dangle whatever for any man. That's disgusting. That's filthy. You know, we should praise the women that are godly. We should praise the women that are willing to sacrifice of their bodies, sacrifice of their time, effort, and energy, and all that they have to give unto you, especially when you get married. And we should praise them, and we should rejoice with them, and we should be satisfied with only them. Go to Proverbs 31. Go to Proverbs 31. You know what? Women need to be praised. And let me tell you how often, as much as you can speak. You should be praising your wife as much as you can possibly do it. Constantly telling her that she's beautiful. Constantly appreciating all the good things that she does. And I think sometimes in a church like ours, you hear sermons about how women should behave themselves. We talk about the Proverbs 31 woman. And this is typically what every man thinks. When they hear Proverbs chapter 31 being read, they check all the ones that they're not doing in their mind. They're like, well, I wish she would do that one. Instead of doing the exact opposite of what they should do, they should be checking all the ones that they do and praise their wife for those. Instead of being so busy and so concerned with what your wife is not doing perfectly, how much effort and energy are you putting into praising her for that which she's doing that is good? Proverbs 31, look at verse 30. Favor is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her of the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates. Now, in Proverbs 31, it gives a long list of things that she's doing. You know, what you should do is every single one of these, you should be praising your wife for on a regular basis. Look at verse 10. Who can find a virtuous woman for a price is far above rubies? If you could bring a woman to this church, wow, you should be praising her. We're meeting in not great area, bringing a bunch of children, not comfortable chairs. There's still, most of them are better than what you had with the previous pastor. But, I mean, you know, you're dragging her in here to have some guy yell at them, right? And scream at them. And he's a hate preacher. And it makes them uncomfortable. They have to dress differently than, you know, the other whores that are out there. I mean, just the fact that she physically shows up, you should literally be praising her so much. I mean, have you not heard the complaints about all these guys that are single? They act like there's no women on the planet. And they're like, you know, there's no hope for American women. I see a lot of American women in this room. I mean, there's American women all, and you say, well, how did any of them get here? Because I said, get your butt into church. And she's like, okay, you know, most of the time, American women will not choose a church like ours. But you know what? If you can drag one in, she should still be praised. You should still praise the one that'll be drugged in, because many of them won't even be drugged in. You know, how can you find this woman? I mean, her price is far above. You should be celebrating with her and excited that you have a woman that's even remotely interested in God in America 2022. It is so hard to find a woman that even kind of wants to serve God. Instead of being concerned, well, I want her to serve God 150%. Well, why don't you just be excited that she's even on any percentage? How about verse 11? The heart of her husband is safely trust in her so that he shall have no need of spoil. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. She seeketh wool and flax and worketh willingly with her hands. I mean, if she's willing to do work for you, you should praise her for that.
She's like the merchant ships bringing her food from afar. If she's going out and getting food and making you food, she should be praised for the meals that she's making. Tell her how wonderful she is for making you food.
Says in verse number 15, she riseth also while it is yet night and giveth meat to her household and a portion of her maidens.
If your wife is getting up in the middle of the night and not making you get up, you should praise her for that. She's getting up with the kids. She's getting up to make meals. She's getting up to take care of all the vomit and all the different problems and the issues. I mean, I sleep like a baby, okay? My wife should be greatly praised for doing all this hard work and this effort. I mean, you men that don't breastfeed, you don't realize the effort and energy she's putting to feed that baby. And while you don't pay attention because you're not getting fed, you know, you shouldn't be so selfish to not think about the fact that your wife is literally getting up and literally feeding children 24/7. I mean, she's like a food factory. She's just constantly, milk factory. I mean, she's just a dairy. She's just constantly producing and producing and producing. And then she's feeding all the other people and then feeding you just constantly, constantly. I mean, you should be praising your wife constantly for that. Instead of complaining or being inconvenienced, it's like, when are you going to get me a sandwich? It's like when I'm done feeding the other 1,000 children you have with me, okay? Dude, instead of complaining so much, why don't you praise her for what she's doing? It says, she considereth the field and buyeth it, and with the fruit of her hand she planted the vineyard. She girded her loins with strength and strengthened her arms. She perceiveth that her merchandise is good. Her candle goeth not out by night. She layeth her hands in the spindle, and her hands hold the distaff. So it's like this woman's doing all kinds of stuff. I guarantee your wife is doing works. I guarantee your wife is doing stuff. She makes your house look pretty, because I've seen every single bachelor pad, and it's terrible looking, okay? And then a woman comes in, and the house is like, oh, this looks nice, you know? It actually matches, and it's pretty, it's well, you know, designed, everything like that. You know, if your house looks well designed and you're a dude living by yourself, you're probably a faggot, you know? I mean, that's typically the area that they're interested in. You know, it should look kind of rough and a little off and things hanging out, a little dangerous, you know? That's kind of how a man's house is. You know, a woman's house is going to be delicate and soft and pretty and all these type of things. So if you come to my house, you can tell very clearly who decorated, all right? But you know what? She should be praised for that. She should praise for all the work and the effort and the energy that she's putting in your house. I mean, do you even notice those things? Probably not. You probably don't care about all the stuff that your wife is doing for you. You need to start praising her more. You know, the book, Song of Solomon, it's just a constant just praise. I mean, just praising her beauty and praising every aspect of what she looks like, her eyes, her hair. I mean, every part of her body. You know what? Men need to constantly praise their wife. They deserve to be praised. And, you know, if you want her to do more on this list, why don't you start praising her for all the stuff she is doing? Because it might encourage her to want to do more instead of criticizing and complaining, because then it makes her want to do less. I'm just telling you, human psyche, human reasoning doesn't always make sense. But if you constantly are criticizing someone, they typically want to work less hard. If you go to your job and all your boss does is criticize everything you do, what do you typically think? Well, what about all the good stuff I did? Yep. What about me staying late? What about me working overtime? What about me doing X, Y, and Z? And here's the same thing. If all you do is criticize your wife for all the things that she's not doing right, she's probably wanting to not do anything. You're discouraging her. You're causing her to get frustrated. You know what? You should be constantly praising her. Your praise, and this is just my personal opinion, your praise should outweigh your criticism 10 to 1. 10 to 1 at least. Maybe even 100 to 1. I mean, you should be praising your wife on a regular basis. You know, don't look at your wife as some slave, as some person that you look down upon. No, she's of a great price. She's of a great value. We should treat women with respect. It used to be in society that if a man hit a woman, everyone would take him out and just beat the living tar out of him. It's sick, the world that we live in today, where men physically abuse women. They abuse them by not providing for them. They abuse them by not giving them what they want. They abuse them by not giving them all the attention that they need and the duty of marriage. They abuse them by not giving them, you know, even just some of their wants. By not giving them praise that they deserve. You know, I guarantee the women in this church need a lot of praise from the Bible's perspective because of what they're doing. And we need to be the ones giving. A real man is going to provide, he's going to protect, and he's going to praise his woman. Amen. Let's close in prayer. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for
giving us women. Thank you for giving every man a wife if he so desires to go out and find one.
I pray that you would just strengthen the men. You would encourage the men. You'd provoke the men today to step up to the plate, to say, you know what? I'm going to do my job. I'm going to provide. I'm going to protect. And you know what? I'm going to praise my wife. Rather than being so concerned with criticizing her and hoping that she gets better in every area, I'd rather just praise her for what she's doing already. And praise God that we have so many women in this room that work so hard, that love the Lord. I pray that you would just continue to encourage them, that they would realize that they're of great price in the Lord's sight, that it's so hard to find a woman that wants to serve the Lord in this country. But I pray that we would raise a generation of men that want to be men, that women that want to be women, and that we would all be pleasing in your sight. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
All right, for our final song, we'll go to song 160, Crown Him with Many Crowns. 160, Crown Him with Many Crowns. Song 160, Crown Him with Many Crowns. On the first. Crown Him with many crowns, the Lamb upon His throne. Hark how the heavenly anthems drown all music but its own. Awake, my soul, and sing of Him who died for thee, and hail Him as thy matchless King through all eternity. Crown Him the Lord of love, behold His hands and sign, rich wounds yet visible above, in beauty glorified. No angel in the sky can fully bear that sight, but downward bends His wandering eye at mysteries so bright. Crown Him the Lord of life, who triumphed o'er the grave, who rose victorious to the strife for those He came to save. His glories now we sing, who died and rose on high, who died eternal life to bring, and lives that death may die. Crown Him the Lord of heaven, one with the Father known, one with the Spirit through Him given from yonder glorious throne. To Thee be endless praise, for Thou for us hast died. Be Thou, O Lord, through endless days adored and magnified. Great singing. God bless. You are dismissed.